Today's program is brought to you by Nettle Meadow Farm Cheese and Spirits Pairing, taking place on Saturday, June 18th at Nettle Meadow Farm. For more information, visit NettleMeadowCheeseAndSpirits.com. That's N-E-T-T-L-E, MeadowCheeseAndSpirits.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues, that's him. It's gonna get you sun in the air.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And we are going to be hanging out with a really good buddy of mine. I'm surprised that this is happening right now because I realized that you hadn't been on the show like before because we just talked shop so much.
Right.
And it just seemed so natural to me that I didn't even realize that you hadn't been on before. But it's about time to make this happen. So we got Jack Summers in from commonly known as Jack from Brooklyn, a distiller and spirits creator and consultant from Red Hook, Brooklyn, most notably known for Sorrel, the Sorrel liqueur, which is awesome stuff. Dude, welcome to the show.
Dude, it's good to be here. You're two of my favorite people in the industry. I'm so glad we get to do this today.
Yeah, man.
It's gonna be fun.
Me too. So, dude, you're like... You're one of the busiest dudes I know.
Highest energy in the business.
Yeah, definitely. For sure, man. We have so much to talk about. We just got to dive right into it, man. So, like, I know that you started the distillery years ago in Red Hook. Give us the background, man. Let's run through it.
So the short version of the story is 6 years ago, right around now, my doctor found a golf ball-sized tumor inside my spine.
Ugh.
He said, you have a 95% chance of death and a 50% chance of paralysis because in order to remove the tumor, we need to take a bone out of your spine, take your spinal cord out through the hole, and then do neurosurgery on your spinal cord. So if you don't have your paperwork in order, like, now's a good time.
Shit.
Yeah, it'll readjust your perspective. Fuck, I lived. What the hell? But I call what happened to me the gift because I got to address the question that most people spend their whole lives avoiding. And the question is, if you knew for a fact today was your last day on Earth, what would you do? Do you go home and make love to your partner one last time? Do you play with your kids and your dog? Do you call your mom? Do you settle an old feud with a friend? Do you go punch someone who deserves it in the face?
All of those.
Oh, yeah, I would do all of them. I'd rob a bank, too, and just give it away, Robin Hood style, man.
On my last day on Earth, I know for a fact what I will be doing. I will be around smart people, having good conversation, and a good drink. And my entire life, and the reason I'm in this industry, is so that I can make sure every day in my life, I get to do exactly what we're doing right now. Good conversations, good friends, and a good drink.
That's
perfect.
I'm honored. Well, that was a great show. Dude. Oh, man, you're always the best to be around.
So this catalyst, this catharsis of your life took you from an office job to what you now do. Talk about that.
I had 25 years in corporate America. I had 5 years in finance, 10 in marketing, and 10 in publishing. And I was a director at a fashion magazine, my last corporate job. But I had this Caribbean thing that I was making in my kitchen for years and years and never thought twice about it. They first started to bring hibiscus leaves into the Americas from West Africa in the 16th century. It's got all these terrific medicinal properties. It's natural antimicrobial. It's got more vitamin C than most citrus fruits. It's an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
They would make this is not a problem at all. They would make a tea out of this, and then because the British naval officers had rum as part of their stipend, they would put rum in the tea, and this drink called Sorrel was born.
Sure.
And relative to what island you were on, it was prepared slightly differently because of different spice influences. If you were higher in the spice route, say Jamaica, you got hibiscus flowers with ginger and allspice and cardamom and rum, because everything in Jamaica's got rum.
Yep.
If you were deeper in the spice route, like Trinidad and Tobago, they had East Indian influence and South American influence, so you got nutmeg and cinnamon and clove. But not necessarily alcohol. The Trinidadians are not nearly as notorious drinkers as the Jamaicans are. So I knew I was leaving my day job to day drink professionally. And the question is, how do you do that?
That is the question.
Right? It sounds like a really nice idea, but why should people pay me to drink with my friends? And I had this idea that I was going to take this beverage I was making in my home and make it a commercial version of it. And the joke I tell people is, if you have an idea you think is so good that no one's ever thought of it before, it's probably a terrible idea. It's probably a reason why no one's ever done this before. It's been around for centuries. So because I'm insane, I decided that without any background in food chemistry, without any background in the hospitality, without knowledge of anyone in the liquor industry, without any sales experience, I was going to create this brand in my kitchen and launch it. And I became the first person to invent a shelf-stable version of this product.
That's been around for centuries.
It's been around for centuries.
Brave and crazy.
it's funny how those things are usually the same thing. and it has... No one's more surprised than me at how universally it's been accepted. It won a bunch of awards. It turns out that it's incredibly versatile. You can use it in pretty much any spirit. You can drink it hot. You can drink it cold. It has allowed me to pursue this dream of spending every single day with smart people and drinking with them. And I don't want to make it sound small as if that's all that's involved. There's a tremendous amount of other stuff and knowledge that's involved. There's lots of science of rectification. There's all this governmental regulation that you have to familiarize yourself with. There are the absolutely indispensable people skills, because it's a social industry. And you sort of have to have all of these things working at the same time in order to do this with any seriousness. And I've been incredibly fortunate to meet great people like Souther and Damon, who have been not just willing to guide me along the course, but to befriend me and make all this bullshit absolutely worthwhile.
Yeah, man. You need to make strength, man.
Hell yes.
Yeah, plus your passion is infectious. Your energy I say it all the time, you're the most energetic guy in the business that I know here in New York City. Like, you are always on the run.
It helps that I don't sleep.
Real.
Right now, I'm on 90-minute sleep, and that's okay. I had someone ask me when I'll sleep, and I told them when I have a great big pile of money, I'll sleep perfectly fine.
Contented.
Oh, man. So it's amazing, everything just changed, literally, overnight, in your life. And then you jumped into this, and you've been very successful with this brand, and... It's been for me, and I'm sure for Souther as well. It's been a really fun product to work with because, like you said, you know, it hadn't been around before. It's when a lot of these products come out, and did you think that it was going to find its way? Were you focused on getting it into the cocktail world, or getting it on the shelves, or both? I mean, what did you? Because like you said before, you weren't really in the bar scene, the cocktail scene. Before.
Well, Souther will tell you that literally, and Souther was one of the very first people, I went around to all of the bars I could find and seeded the market. I said, hey, I'm the guy down the street and I make this stuff.
I remember you bringing it in to me at Prime Eats.
Try some. If you like it and you come up with something fun, let me know. And you do that and you just keep doing it and you don't even think about it. And if it comes back to you, great. But I think the two things that really count are the product, whatever it is, has to be distinctive. It's because there's just too many things out there right now that are too similar. Love craft, but it's incredibly romanticized.
Well, So is opening a bar. Well, we're out of our minds. Why would we do this?
Yeah, because you love it.
That's true.
Like, and it's not just that you love it; it's that you choose it. You know, this is. It's like having a good partner. Like, you can fall in love with somebody, but you still have to wake up every morning and choose that person. Like, I get that we love this,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But every day we choose it too, and that is really what makes the difference.
Absolutely.
You're celebrating a bunch of local success. How about abroad? I mean, are you going further than New York? It's spreading.
It's
one quick question for that. Like, how long has Jack from Brooklyn been around? You've been making Sorrel.
It's 4 years now.
4 years, okay. Which is a short time in the grand scheme of things.
It doesn't seem like that short of a period of time. It seems like it's been around for a lot longer. I think that's your impact.
Yeah, it's dog years.
You have such a presence.
Yeah, there we go. It's like 28 years, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's you. You have such a presence that you make us think, like, I can't remember a time in my life when I didn't know Jack. So, like, because you just have that big personality. But so in 4 years, New York, you're crushing it. How about further out? You going further?
It's in 22 states, Canada, Australia. I get 10 to 15 emails a day from around the country asking how soon they're going to get it. This morning I got emails from Nebraska, Minnesota, and Ohio. I've got requests from as far as Monaco and Malta. And again, no one is more surprised than me because the big liquor companies have the money to advertise you to death. I've never spent a dime on advertising because I've never had a dime
right.
to spend on advertising. It's only ever been word of mouth and
in the community.
And the community. And the community has been so good to me that all I can think of is what can I do to give back. It's just been a terrific experience.
It's also, like, to me, it's a testament to the possibilities of starting a brand like yours. Based solely on the community, you know. Obviously, you have to have a great product, and you do. But like, that's, man, I can't believe it's fucking 4 years. Yeah, like, it's right? Still bothering me, like, in a great way. Like, it's such a great industry, man. It's,
I mean, that's a lot of success in a pretty short amount of time. But again, yeah. I've never seen you not hustling. You are always
that
working.
That is true.
And that's a testament to you just as a person. Of course you have a good product. Of course you have done your homework. But like, the fact that you are Jack from Brooklyn. Like, you are the guy. I see you everywhere.
I don't actually know if seeing me everywhere is good. I have come to understand that people appreciate your absence more than they appreciate your presence.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. But, you know, this is one of the great things about what we do is there are certain things that you can contribute to overcome the inherent obstacles in what we face. They can limit the amount of money that you have if you are not born to wealth. They can limit the amount of influence you have if you do not know people, but they can't limit your hustle. Only you can limit how hard you decide to work at something. And if you love this, like, I by the time my eyes pop open at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can't wait to get started.
Yeah,
I'm like, why is everyone still sleeping? There's stuff to do.
Yeah, let's get it done.
Get shit done.
Absolutely.
It says it on your T-shirt right now.
Awesome. Get shit done.
Awesome. Well, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And when we get back, we'll continue talking with our buddy Jackie from Brooklyn. All right.
Nettle Meadow Farm Cheese and Spirits Pairing is a celebration of good food and beverages in the newly restored Barn Loft event venue at Nettle Meadow Farm in Thurman, New York. On Saturday, June 18th, come sample and savor, then buy your favorite cheeses and beverages to take home. Nettle Meadow cheeses have been praised highly in national media and have won prestigious awards from the American Cheese Society. Taste samples of goat and sheep cheeses paired with an array of local regional wines, beers, and ciders. You'll never forget your first sample of rich, creamy Kunik, Nettle Meadow's trademark cheese. In Esquire, our very own Anne Saxelby said, "Kunik, it may very well be the sexiest cheese in the USA." Nettle Meadow Farm is a goat and sheep dairy and cheese company in Thurman, New York, just below Crane Mountain in the Adirondacks, between Gore Mountain, North Creek, and Warrensburg. It's owned and operated by Lorraine Limbiase and Sheila Flanagan. Both have a great love of animals, artisan cheese, and the unique challenges of farm life. Nettle Meadow Farm was originally founded in 1990, and it's the home of over 300 goats, dozens of sheep, and a variety of farm sanctuary animals. Again, the cheese and spirits pairing is Saturday, June 18th. For more information and tickets, visit NettleMeadowCheeseAndSpirits.com. That's N-E-T-T-L-E, MeadowCheeseAndSpirits.com.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague here with Damon Bolte. Our guest today, Jackie Summers from Jack from Brooklyn. We just talked a lot about your product and your hustle and how you like to get shit done.
The hustle is real.
The hustle is real. And then on the break there, you mentioned to us, you personally made every single batch of sorrel that's out there. You alone. Alone. Talk to us about that.
You know, I want to say that this is something that all the craft people do. I have made every single batch of sorrel that's out there to date. I have had a tremendous amount of help when it comes to bottling, labeling, that sort of a thing, because that's really the clusterfuck of it all. I want to say that in the entire production process, making alcohol is the easy part. Bottling, labeling?
Yeah.
The first 3,000 bottles I hand-filled with a lemonade pitcher because I didn't have a filler. The first 30,000 cases we hand-labeled because I didn't have a labeler. And it's all you could do because that's what had to be done. And it was 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, and there really wasn't any other way around it.
Sure.
So you wake up, you do your correspondence, you do your paperwork, go make product, come back, hit the street until your feet are blistered, and then go do some more paperwork and start the shit all over again.
And this is your daily life for the past 4 years now?
Pretty much. I will say that the thing I don't think craft people focus enough on is the business aspect of it. It's one thing to make a product, but if you're not focused on the business end, the marketing end, if you don't know the ins and outs of distribution agreements, if you don't know the ins and outs of how to continue to raise capital, you will hit some obstacles that are really hard to overcome.
But as an entrepreneur and as a guy who just started all this, as you mentioned earlier, with no ties to the field of bartending, with no ties to the field of liquor, you've learned all this on the go.
Yeah, how did you did you read any books where did this come from?
Is this just enlightenment?
Just like intuition knowledge? Ingenuity? Like, what's going on, man?
I believe in the apprenticeship model. You know, we have public school systems nowadays which theoretically teach kids very basic stuff. But before we had schools, we had apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. When you were in your teens, you would go study with a master. You'd take 7 or 8 years of your life, and every day for 8 hours, you would study under somebody who knew what the fuck they were doing. And then you would go out on your own and create your own masterwork, and eventually the masters would grant upon you this title of master yourself. I was lucky enough to seek out really good mentors right from the start. So when it came to the business aspect, I sought out people who could teach me about the business side of Arthur Shapiro, for example, the former chief marketing officer for Seagram's, is one of my closest mentors. He and I speak every day, and I've learned tons of stuff from him. When it comes to cocktails, I've got Souther and Damon, who've taught me so much about what makes a good cocktail. And when it comes to the business of what makes a bar successful, there's Julie Reiner is, I think, one of the best people in the industry when it comes to just what makes things run. Everyone has been willing to teach me. And so I've just been deeply, deeply immersed with the most amount of modesty possible to ask people to share their knowledge with me. And the industry is truly hospitable. Everyone's been so gracious. And it's just been an immersive experience. I consider myself absolutely a beginner, and I figure I've got another 7 or 8 years before I can progress out of being anything but a novice, and I hope that people will continue to teach me.
Well, that's the spirit of community.
Absolutely, I mean, man. And, you know, that's... We're no strangers to it, because, I mean, Souther comes from a culinary background, you know, and he didn't start as a chef, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't start as a bartender, you know? Like, I really do, like, I agree with you. I love the idea of apprenticeship. It's just the natural, like, classic way of learning, you know?
Yeah.
And, like...
Unfortunately, lost art.
Yeah. But we still embrace that in our industry.
I think so, absolutely.
I mean, it's, like, the only way to do it. You can't really, like, read... There's so many great cocktail books out there, but you can't... You don't learn it all from reading the cocktail books. I feel like the cocktail books are more of an inspiration and then a reference, yeah. You know?
The cocktail books look nice on your coffee table, but at the end of the day, you got to be behind the stick. Yeah. And before you can get behind the stick, really, you should be bar backing.
I mean, you get it from so many different directions, you know? You just have to get your hands on it. And you did. And you know what's cool about it, too, is, like, you were saying in the earlier half of the show that... That Jack from Brooklyn, as the company, started as like an umbrella company. Or actually, you were saying this during the break. Started as an umbrella company for more products to come. I mean, so like now that you've gone like 4 years into Sorrel, which is awesome. And now you're at a point where you're starting to feel comfortable with, first of all, you started consulting with some different companies, which is awesome. We should talk about that for sure. But you're also getting into a point where your
portfolio diversification is coming up. Is that what we're talking
about? Exactly. Yeah.
You're going to start making some new products that you can't really get into, but that's on your horizon, right?
Here's the thing. Everyone thinks of your second product as your sophomore album. So if people are either going to consider you genuine or a fluke based on what you do number two.
Yeah.
And sadly, one of the things that happens with craft brands is they release a bunch of SKUs so they can have things that will continue to bring in revenue while they're waiting for whatever else to happen. And you end up not having distinctive products. I've put a lot of thought, a tremendous amount of thought, into what is needed. Because at the end of the day, if you don't put out, if there's not a reason for people to get what you're doing, then you're wasting everyone's time. I think I've identified three holes in the color palette that I can put products out there where people will go, why didn't this exist before?
Sure.
Right, which is that aha moment that we've all had with Sorrel. Like, this should have been around. It was around, it just wasn't commercially made.
And so I think... And to be clear, I'm never gonna do a whiskey. I'm never gonna do a vodka. I'm never gonna do a rum.
Never say
I'm
never.
I'm never gonna do. there are too many people who are so good at it already.
Sure.
And I wouldn't know how to make that product either remarkable, distinctive. I wouldn't know how to market it. It's not my specialty. God bless the folks who are good at that. I want to do things that don't exist yet, and let people go, like, you know what I love? Everyone's got a freaking iPod or an iPhone now. But a few years ago, like, no one knew they needed this. I want to give people things that they don't know they need yet.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what happened with,
Saint-Germain. Yeah, I was actually thinking about Saint-Germain. You know, it's unfortunate that he recently passed away, but that product was coming into my mind as we're sitting here talking about Sorrel. You've created something that is sort of catching like wildfire. It's, as you mentioned, really versatile and useful, and was completely missing before.
I think one of the tricks to entrepreneurship across the board is to see if you can identify a problem that other people can't see,
right,
and solve that problem.
That's the tricky part, man, for sure. Because, like, we're really lucky that we have people like you nowadays that are, like, identifying these. But it's true, man. Like, when I first tasted Sorrel and in several other products, like, the ones that come to mind are, like, the ones that I really, like, found to be, like, kind of, like, game changers. Well, we said Saint-Germain, but then, like, even, like, Art in the Age, like, their root liqueur. Like, I love that stuff.
It's amazing.
I love it, you know? And it's... I didn't know that I needed that or even wanted it, you know?
Right.
But all of a sudden it was there. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to use the fuck out of this.
Right. The whole trick is to... The expression I love, and it's not mine, so I can't take credit for it, but talent hits a target. Genius hits a target no one else can see.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember having a conversation with you, I guess, 4 years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. When we talked about Sorrel.
We're getting older, man.
And I said...
But we're still here, right? Isn't that right, Jack?
Getting older...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, getting older sucks, but it beats the alternative.
I got like 10 years on you, man. Come on.
But we talked, and I remember telling you, I said, long ago, back in, I think I'm going to say 1995, I was in Mexico, and I was back when I was a chef, and I was doing an event for Conservation International. We were in the middle of nowhere, an eco resort, no electricity. We had solar panels to heat water, to take showers, and things like that. And the drink that we drank there was called Jamaica.
Which is
hibiscus tea.
Yes.
And it was seasoned with, you know, some cinnamon or nutmeg or whatever we had on hand. And we did. We drank it both hot at night because we were in the high desert. It was cold. We drank it in the daytime over ice that we had, you know, we had to go get the ice every 2 days at the place that was 40 miles away. And I was like, this is delicious. And then I came back to America and I've never thought of it again. And then the minute you poured that for me, boom. And I was like, wow, what applications this could have in the cocktail world.
I have to tell you, I'm...
That's a similar product.
The reception it's gotten across the board it's been amazing. I've got a CVS in the Ozarks of Missouri that sells out. You know, when you start this in Brooklyn, you don't think that's your market,
dude.
But
I can't.
You don't know.
It's better than cherry wine.
I'll tell you. I'm gonna after the show. I'll tell you my Ozark Mountain story. It's pretty gnarly. Well, that's great though. I mean, like, you know, what's cool about that too is like anytime I. Like, sometimes I'll write articles for Bon Appetit, like, based on, like, cocktail articles. And it's good to hear stuff like that because a lot of times you're handicapped by what is available in these markets in the United States. You know, like, I can't necessarily throw in some crazy ingredient for my mom living in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma, you know, because if she wants to make that cocktail,
right,
she might have to go two states over to pick something up,
right.
But it's cool that you're spread that you're actually getting it out there like that.
That's a massive thing. You know, when I was in the culinary world and worked for the program Good Eats, you know, we would do a lot of research on every episode, every ingredient, and we would literally, you know, kind of some years ago as well, we would sit down and make phone calls to grocery stores in rural areas to be like, do you have Old Bay seasoning? We consider this to be a ubiquitous thing. Surely everybody has it. And then they don't.
Old Bay?
And then you say, well, I guess we can't do Old Bay in this shrimp episode or whatever.
And then what do you do?
Know, so it's good that you're getting the product out there across the board so that when guys like us put a recipe that happens to get into a magazine, those people can feel confident that they can go out and buy the stuff and make the drink.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. You know what? I'm gonna have to call my mom after this, see if she can get sore up in Oklahoma. So, that's awesome. And you've got, like, with these new products that you've got coming out very soon, you've been reaching out and doing some more, like, consulting work. I mean, is that just, like, you waking up at 4 o'clock every morning and just, like, hustling?
The Liquitarian is officially the marketing arm of Jack from Brooklyn, and I got the name from my mom because she doesn't like calling her kids alcoholics.
Liquitarians.
But the consulting stuff is really interesting because I had this super crash course of information about sales and marketing and distribution and really street level guerrilla marketing. And it all coalesced in a certain way that became marketable, a marketable skill. And so I've had people come to me and go, so, like, how do you do this? And, you know, I think about that line from The Dark Knight. The Joker says, listen, you never do anything that you get at for free. So I'm happy to dispense what I've learned for a nominal fee.
Well, my dad always said the reward for hard work is more work. And it took me forever to understand that. And I think that's the position you're in right now. What that means is the better you are at something, the more people ask you to do that thing.
That's true.
Hopefully that you can take the things that you've learned, the things people have generously showed you, and dispense it in a way that actually makes sense and is repeatable.
Yeah. Man, it's always great talking with you. I mean, we're at the end of the show now, but God, you should... I would love to have you back. We would love to have you back in the studio anytime.
Yeah. Say when. If it means I get to drink with you guys, hell yes.
Awesome, man. It's always such a pleasure talking to you. I learned so much, just so many great things, not only about the industry, but about you every time we get to hang out, and it's always such a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always really great to see you.
Yeah, man.
Can I say one thing before we go?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Sorrel got the name because I can't pronounce R's and L's. If you go to the Caribbean and you have this stuff, they call it sorrel, S-O-R-R-E-L. For me, that's like trying to say rural or terroir. I can't pronounce those words.
Oh, yeah.
But I did have 8 years of enunciation class in public school. And here's one of the things I learned. Words that end in a down sound are sad. Sorrel is a sad word. Sorrel is happy. And I don't sound like a dumbass when I say it. It's literally called Sorrel, so I don't sound like a dummy every time.
So Sorrel, parentheses, happy juice. Yes.
Oh, my God. That's so amazing. Dude, seriously, anytime you want to come in the studio, you're here, man.
Yeah,
means we can kick some beers back, hell yes.
Yeah, and looking forward to your new products, all hush hush, but looking forward to seeing what you do next, because watching you is fucking entertaining.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well, check
out pleasure, guys.
My pleasure. The website is jackfrombrooklyn.com,
right?
So you can follow you can learn more about Sorrel there, and follow up with the new products that are gonna be coming out soon.
And the Twitter is the Lickitarian.
There you go. All right, Jack, thanks again. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Souther, much.
Let's take it away. Let's go to the bar. Let's get a drink.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Tune in to Heritage Radio Network for many more programs like this one. Until then, cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.